The Gemara tells us in Daf Pei Aleph and Aleph, Rabbah tells us that Baal Be'ir in Choshen Mishum Yichud. This is groundbreaking, the notion of Baal Be'ir. It's not the first exception to Yichud that we've come across. We've already come across several. Shnei Anashim, Ishto Imo, and so forth. It's one of the first that could apply in a Yichud Daraisa situation, and that's significant. This is apparently a very powerful kula. Baal Be'ir in Choshen Mishum Yichud, even though one imagines that's Reuven and Yocheved alone is potentially, as we opened with several weeks ago, potentially is a Yichud Daraisa, but if Yocheved's husband is Ba'ir, so then Ein Choshen Mishum Yichud. So the first major point that comes up, of course, is how do you translate Choshishim? That's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosus. Rashi takes the position that this isn't really a full kula. It's not a full exception to Yichud. It's just a question of whether or not you get Malkus. It's just a Ptur Onshin. It's still Aser, but Ein Choshishin Lahalkos. That's a simple reading of Rashi. And as you saw, Tosus is very, very upset. Tosus is very upset. Most Rishon assume like Tosus. It's very difficult to read the Gemara as merely being a Petur Onshin, but Baal Be'ir is still Aser. For several reasons, the reason that Tosus gives is the story that ensues. After the Gemara mentions the next thing, which Bli Neder will take a look at next week, Pesach Pesuach, the Gemara then circles back to say, tell the story of Yosef and Rabbi Bivi, and why were they concerned about Yichud if the husband's going to be in town? And the answer is, well, it was a Libo gospel, which we'll get to in a moment. So Tosus points out, Yosef or Bibi, the Rebbetzin, they were all religious Jews. They weren't just seeking to a loophole to avoid punishment. They're obviously seeking to do that which is mutter, not that which is aser. So if the Gemara raises a kashala, why were they concerned? Why were they seeking to solve the situation after it was Baal Be'ir? And the Gemara didn't respond, well, but still aser. So that's a problem. That's a problem. The footnotes on the Machon Devorah tour, the new tour, they quote our lengthy comments, Arugas Habosem, who tries to solve for Rashi that maybe Rav Yosef and Rav Bivi were both a very complicated pshat. Maybe they're both still staying in the house. It wasn't really Baal Be'ir. Pashup Shat is that Baal Be'ir is a matir, not just a patur onshin. In the footnote in the tour, they also quote another achron in the Nesivos L'Shavas. He has a raya from Gemara and Sota Daf Chavhei that implies that there is an Isser Yichud even when it's Baal Be'ir. But we'll soon see that there may be a solution for that as well. So Pashup Shat, again, Rov Rishonim certainly seemed to hold like Tosas that Baal Be'ir is mutter, not just the Petur Onshin, and that's the way Shulchan Aruch presents it. Okay. Shulchan Aruch quotes the language of the Gemara, Ein Choshishin L'Hisachedima. Now again, you could argue, well, however you translate it in Gemara, how you translate it in Shulchan Aruch, but then he goes on to say, but, Im Haya Liba Gaspa, then Lo Yisachedima, Afa Pisha Baal Be'ir. You see that when Baal Be'ir doesn't apply, because Libo Gaspa, that's when Lo Yisyached. So by extension, in normal cases of Baal Be'ir, Yisyached. It's actually Mutter, not just Ptur Onshin. The Bach, as you saw, so the Bach is more inclined to be Machmer like Rashi. In terms of Nosakim on the page, so the Chalkas Mechokik does quote the Bach, so that sounds like a tip of the hat that maybe we should seek to be machmer. The Beis Shmuel sounds pretty clearly lahakel, despite the fact that the Dvar Halacha The Dvar Halacha here in Siman Zayin is about Baal Be'ir, Sif Aleph. He assumes that Beis Shmuel is also being Machmir. Now, the Beis Shmuel quotes both Shitos. Look at the Beis Shmuel in Sif Katnit Beis. So he comments on the Shulchan Aruch, where Shulchan Aruch wrote, that's Keshitas HaTosfos, and Rashi holds it is Asbein Lokin. Hard to say that that's definitively that he's in favor of Rashi. If anything, he's mentioning the Machlokas, and he is pointing out, as we did, that Shulchan Aruch lines up with Tosfos. In terms of the more recent Achronim, so the Chachmas Adam, prelude to the second point the Chachmas Adam makes, which the Pesachei Tshuva talks about, we'll get to soon, is in terms of the question of Rashi versus Tosis, is Baal Be'ir a heter at all or not? So the Chachmas Adam does also want to be Machmer like Rashi a little bit, and he suggests a compromise. And we mentioned before, Baal Be'ir is a kula that applies even in a case of, otherwise, B'yichud Daraisa. Chazan says, well, maybe we should split the psak. If it's a daraisa, so then we should machmer like Rashi and assume that Baal Be'ir is not mutter. And if it's a drabbanon, because there are three or more people, then it would be makel like Tosus. That would be, if we were to accept the Chachmas Adam's pshara, that would be an interesting nafkamina in the conversation we had earlier about with whom do you have an issa daraisa yichud. For instance, there was a discussion about chayve lavin. As yichud, 101 yichud, but she's not an erva, it's chayve lavin. That was the debate about whether it's Yichud Daraisa or not. So if you accept the Chachmas Adam, it's an interesting, it's a nafkamina in whether a given situation is Yichud Daraisa or Yichud Rabban. Lema'asa, the Dvar Halacha quotes that the Chaznish was absolutely Mako, like Tosus, and like the Shulchan Aruch, and again, like the simple reading of the Beis Shmuel, and I think that's the way it is usually assumed. The Halacha, I think that's the way our Rebbeim assume as well, that in a case where Baal Be'ir is in force, Baal Be'ir is matir, like Tosis. Of course, the question is, well, when is Baal Be'ir in force? On the assumption that Baal Be'ir is actually mutter, which is what we're going to assume going forward, then the question is, well, when does Baal Be'ir apply? So there are one or two cases where Baal Be'ir is designated as not applying. So the first one is the Gemara says that the Gemara we mentioned before, the story of Yosef from Bibi, Libo Gaspa is an exception. Even though the husband was going to be staying in town, Bibi, if I remember correctly, was traveling to Yosef's home, right? And Yosef sounds like was going to be heading out. Three of them ate together. Yosef, Mrs. Yosef, and Bibi. I hope I'm not reversing the Gemara. And Rav Yosef, Mrs. Yosef, and Rav Bibi were going to be eating together. Then it sounds like Rav Yosef was going to be headed out. Maybe he's going to late Maariv, he's going to night Seder. Rav Bibi just had a long trip, so he's tired, so he's going to go to sleep. They'd all eaten upstairs on the second floor. The Gemara says they left Rav Bibi up there and they locked him in. Shkulu darg mitusei. Bibi will take away the ladder. Then Rav Bibi's locked in, and we will avoid Yichud. There's no problem Yichud anyways, because the Baal Be'ir. Apparently Rav Yosef is leaving the house, but not leaving town. And the answer is Olibo Gaspa. Rav Bibi and Mrs. Yosef were familiar with each other from beforehand, and so that negates the heter of Baal Be'ir. That negates the heter of Baal Be'ir. And now it's interesting that this exception the Gemara mentions does not appear in all Rishonim. The Rif leaves it out, and the Rush leaves it out. They mention Baal Be'ir, but they don't mention anything about Libo Gaspa. The Rambam does quote it. The Shulchan Aruch does quote it. If you look in the Shilte Giborim, on the side of the Rif, so he seems to be sensitive to this Hashmata by the Rif, because he throws it in. He says, the Rambam quotes, and the Rif just says, Baal Be'ir is Mutter, Peth Pesuch is Mutter. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, but the Rambam quotes that if it's Libo Gaspa, then Baal Be'ir is not Mutter. So he seems to be sensitive to the fact that the Rif had left it out. I did not find a Chronim who point this out. I didn't find anyone who says, maybe we can make, maybe these Rishon, the Rif and the Rush hold that Baal Be'ir is Mutter even in a situation of Libo Gaspa. That certainly assumed La Halacha. How to interpret the Hashmat to the Rif, I'm not sure. How to interpret the Hashmata of the Rush, I'm also not sure. Now, the Rush is interesting, just if you don't know in general. What the Rush did, and I think some of the newer editions of the Gemara make this clear with the formatting. The Rif, just a drop of history, just to appreciate how to look at the relation between the Rif and the Rush. The Rif lived around the same time as Rashi. Rif is the very beginning of the period of the Rishonim, around the year 1000. Rashi now lives from 1040 to 1105. That there were three very early Rishonim who live around the same time, different parts of the Mediterranean, all working on making Gemara more user-friendly. The Rish, the Rashi, Rabbeinu Nassan, and the Rif. So Rashi in France and Germany writes a Perish. Rabbeinu Nassan in Italy writes a dictionary, which we call the Aruch. Rabbeinu Nassan Bala Aruch. So he wrote a dictionary, which also contained within it chunks of Perish. And then the Rif, to the west, in Spain and in Morocco, so he wrote the Piskei Rif, which was an abridgment of the Gemara, pulling out the parts that most halacha lamasa. All three different genres of works, all meant to make Gemara more usable, more user-friendly, more accessible. Several centuries later, in the 1300s, the Rush is at the end of the period of the Baal Yatosis. Baal Yatosis began with the Rashi's grandchildren, specifically Rabbi Yotam and his great-grandchildren, particularly the Ri. Around 1300 or so, the Rush, at the very end of the period of the Baal Yatosis, one of the prime Talmidim of Aaron Rutenberg, he also wants to write a Kitzur LaHalacha. What he does is he takes the Rif and he adds to it, mostly sort of adds to it the maskanos of the Baal Yatosis. Sometimes they add other Rishonim. Also, it's Rif plus. That's what the Rush is. If you look them side by side, you begin to notice that. Every once in a long while, perhaps, he'll leave out something the Rif had, but generally it's Rif, and then he'll add other things as well. So every once in a while, some Achron will say, the Rush might have mentioned this, but if he seems to argue with it later, before he would just coin the Rif. Look, you'll see he's just coined the Rif, but then he gave his own commentary later. So by the way, the Ran often will open with Rashi. It doesn't necessarily always pass like the Rashi, which is part of the difficulty. The Bach here assumes that the Ran called Rashi must hold like him. Not so Pasha. Now here, it's the Rif left it out. It's a Hashmat. It's not what the Rif wrote, it's what the Rif didn't write. So the fact that the Rush also left it out, he could have added it. So it's hard to know whether what's the significance of the Rif leaving it out? Does it mean for some reason he holds we don't paskin? Like the din of Libo Gaspo? We would need to figure out what's the basis to reject it? Maybe as a Gemara elsewhere, he thinks there's a stira. And even if that's the Rif's intent, it's hard to know, does the Rush agree with that, or he's just quoting Nusach HaRif? Lamasa, this is interesting in theory, Lamasa, Poskim do not highlight this, and it is universally assumed that Libo Gaspa is an exception to Bailo Be'ir. Yeah.
We suggested that possibly the Rif and maybe the Rush are going like Rashi, because Rashi has to read that line of that Gemara later. So if you can somehow say that Rashi doesn't really subscribe to the end of the Gemara, so if you agree.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, so you're suggesting that maybe the Rif held like Rashi and he had some teretz that we don't paskin like that, and that's part of maybe, and alternatively, even more directly, if the Rif holds like Rashi, yes and no. If the Rif holds like Rashi, it's all about Malkus, you'll say it doesn't really matter whether it's Libo Gaspar or not, because it's Osir anyways, we're not giving Malkus. Of course, by that logic, the Rif should have left out the whole din of Baal Be'ir. If he really holds like Rashi, we're not giving Malkus anyways, presumably, Bizman Azeh. So then maybe he even should have been mashmit the whole din of Baal Be'ir. I mean, for Rashi, the din of Baal Be'ir is not really relevant as Bizman Azeh. Unless you'll say there's some sort of Malkus Mardus. But it sounds like we're talking about I take that back. Malkus on Yichud is Malkus Mardus. But unless you're going to assume Rashi held it applies Bizman Azeh. Bizman Azeh mamash without Bezen of Smuchim. Yeah, so anyway, it's an interesting question. Maybe that's the way to go. The Rif is mashmit, the Rush is mashmit, and Lamaisa Poskim are not mashmit. Lamaisa, there is a din of Baal Be'ir. Again, the predominant view is to assume Baal Be'ir is mutter, and that's what we'll work on that assumption. But Baal Be'ir is not mutter if it's Libo Gaspo. And then you have the second exception to Baal Be'ir, which appears in Shulchan Aruch, and the source is a Trumas Hadeshen, as the Nosa Kalim point out. And that is Kinei La Baila, that in a situation where we don't know that this woman is particularly friendly with a man with whom she's having yichud, but let's say it's Reuven and Yocheved are going to enter a potential yichud situation. So you say, well, it's a problem yichud. On the other hand, Yocheved's husband is in town. So, okay, that should be matir according to Tosas. That's how we paskin. So if the libo gaspa, that's one issue. Or not libo gaspa, but Yocheved's husband had told her, I don't want you alone. I suspect something's going on between you and Reuven, and I don't want you to be alone. That's the first step in Karina Sota Safa, we spoke about a couple weeks ago. And the second step is actual stira, actually be alone. The first step is a kinoi, is a witnessed warning from husband to wife that I think that something untoward is going on between you and that man, and you should not be alone with him. So in a situation of kinei labaila, if there really was a kinoi, even though, again, the husband may be totally wrong, he may be noticing an important fact pattern, or he may just be making things up, but there's nothing going on at all. So even if it's not libo gaspa, but kinei labaila, that also creates an exception to baila bi'ir. Okay. If the first step in this discussion is baila bi'ir mutter or not, machlok is Rashi and Tosas. The second step in the discussion is when, in broad strokes, when does baila bi'ir not apply? Libo gaspa and kinei labaila. The third step, which is perhaps the meatiest, is why is this true? Why does baila bi'ir work? And understanding that, I believe, will drive many other pirtei halacha. Rashi is very clear. Right? Rashi says, "Mistafi mibal hashta asi." Those four words are his explanation for why baal bi'ir does whatever it does. To whatever extent it's an exception to yichud, he says, because mistafi mibal hashta asi. He is concerned that her husband will show up now. Right? Rashi is as in that word hashta. He may show up right now. Right in the moment, very, very practical, visceral chashash. He may walk in that door. Okay, so that's why it's mutter. And look at the Rambam's language, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is Emas Bala Aleha. The Ema of her husband is upon her. Now that might just be a Hebrew translation of what Rashi said. That might also very well be something different, and several achronim seem to understand that, particularly the Chazon Ish and the Chida. The Devar Halacha quotes the language of the Chazon Ish in Yiddish. Said Baal Be'ir is a nerv, not a nerve, but nerv in Yiddish is a feeling. Baal Be'ir is a feeling. What that means is the following. What that means is even if the husband's not, it's not a practical concern, he may pop in. It's not actually private, because he may pop in along the lines of other kulas we have already discussed, perhaps, and certain other kulas are coming up. Presence. Yeah, we spoke about someone else is here. So here's this, someone else might be here. He might walk in. That's clearly what Rashi holds. The Rambam seems to hold that even if there's no concern he's actually going to walk in the door, there's no concern that he'll be present in this room. But still, the fact that he's nearby, the fact that his proximity creates a certain inhibition. Yocheved knows that her husband is nearby. Right? Reuben is alone with Mrs. Shimon. But Mrs. Shimon knows that Shimon is nearby, that Mr. Shimon is nearby. She's not concerned he's going to walk in the door, the very fact of his proximity creates a sense of it's going to tone things down. Yeah.
Is it possible? I don't know the exact question of the Gemara. Is it possible to keep the diagram on the story that was given? They took the ladder down as it was a part of up into the Aliyah. By taking it down, they essentially locked him coming downstairs, but they didn't lock her from bringing it back up.
Interesting. Shalom, you're pointing at moving the ladder away only locks it disables him from getting to her, but does not disable her from getting to him. That's an interesting question, which maybe we'll take up. It's going to, things of that sort may come up later on also, beyond this week. But I think we assume that the latter was, as the Gemara is going to have another latter story later on, payoff from an olive, the latter was heavy. As a matter of fact, the language is the latter that, later on the Gemara speaks explicitly about ladders between the first floor and the second floor that required multiple people to move them. And here the language also is shkulu dargametuse bivi. It's plural. Shkulu, not shkol. So it sounds like he's telling a group of people to take the ladder away. So it sounds like neither one had access to the other. And just to sort of wrap our minds around this distinction between Rashi and the Rambam, or this hakir, if you will, into the nature of what drives Baal Be'ir, it's a little bit, not exactly the same, but a little bit like the difference between Yiras Ha'onesh and Yiras Haromos. Now, this Rashi is talking about something may happen. The husband may, Reuben is alone with Esha Shimon. Shimon may walk in, and then the jig is up. He may actually walk in and will be caught. And that's where Rashi says. While the Rambam, certainly quoting the Chazal, he does say, it's like a, not like a Yiras Ha'onesh, I'm worried about X will happen. Again, Yiras Haromos, the way the Mesil Sisharim describes, the end of the Hakdama, the way the, look at the first page in Aruch Chaim, where the Ramah quotes from the Mor Nebuchim, Yiras Haromos is not, I'm not going to do an Aver because God will strike me down if I do that there. It's, I'm aware of the presence of Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is a reality in my life, so I'm naturally going to be different. It's not a point to point. It's more of a general gestalt. So that's what. So that seems to be Machlokas Rashi Rambam, and there are many nafkaminas. There ought to be many nafkaminas, both in how you work out the details of Baal Be'ir and in how you work out the details of the exception, namely Libo Gaspa. And before diving in, we should note that the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch both quote the language of the Rambam. Many Achronim discuss many different details in the world of Baal Be'ir, and it looks like there's a lot of lining up. I have not yet found anyone who explicitly puts all these issues together, but La'aniyus Daiti, all these issues hang together very... pretty consistently. So the first issue, which the Pesachei Tshuva gets us thinking about, Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkan Zayin, quotes the Chachma Zadam, is...
what do you do? B'bayis Acher.
What do you do, B'bayis Acher? I'm sorry if you're not able to... The guys who are zooming can't see the board. Not sure that helps. I will take a picture afterwards and send it out. The first half is if you're in a different place. Right? That's what the Pesachei Tshuva again quotes the Chacham Zadam. The whole, bear in mind, by the way, that we said before, the Chacham Zadam is not sure that we should be relying on Baal Be'ir at all. Maybe we should hold like Rashi, the first position of Rashi, that's not even Mutter. But then moving on to the second position of Rashi, that's Mistafmi Baal Hashta'asi. The Chacham Zadam very clearly is embracing that. The Baal Be'ir has to do with the actual concern the husband may walk in. Number one, that's only true if you're in a location where the husband's going to walk in. So if Esha Shimon is alone with Reuven in the Shimon home, so Mr. Shimon may walk in at any time because he may come home. But if Esha Shimon is alone with Reuven elsewhere, where you don't anticipate Shimon showing up, and that's going to happen all the time, so then the Chacham Zadam says there's absolutely no heter of Baal Be'ir. And that's, again, that lines up with the Rashi approach. And that is the Chacham Zadam, quoted by Pesachei Tshuva, says, also. But if you hold up the Rambam, so then, logically, it's not about the husband actually showing up. It's that she has a sense of her husband's proximity. So even if he's not going to show up, and that is, and she mutter, and that, in fact, is what the Chazon Ish and the Chida are right. Tvahalacha quotes the Chaznish. The Divrei Sofer from the footnotes quotes the Chida. That's Ish. That's Nafkini number one. Now, Nafkini number two is this is a question of location.
Right? There's sort of a parallel nafkamina. It's a question of time. Lo yagia achshav.
And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Nigris Moshe. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Nigris Moshe. Back in the days when the Jews lived in the tenements in the Lower East Side, and many Jews lived in the tenements in the Lower East Side, and many of those Jews also were working in the garment district. The men. The women were home in the apartment, and the men would leave in the morning and come back at night. So Moshe wants to know, should we apply Baal D'Ir or not? Electrician comes, someone comes into the apartment. The wife is there, the husband's 50, 60 blocks northward, in the same city, they're both in Manhattan. So Moshe says, absolutely not. Because you're not gonna arrive. Now, the Chazon Ish, once again, the same Chazon Ish quoted in the Dvar Halacha and the Chidah quoted by the Darius Ofim, they both assume that even if you know that the husband's not going to, well, let's say, you know the husband's not going to arrive. He just called and said, you know, the husband's a surgeon, and he just called his wife and said, I'm going into surgery now. It's a 6-hour surgery. So, he's not going to be home in 20 minutes. That much is clear. It would take him more than 20 minutes, even if they canceled on the spot, just to change out the scrubs, etc., 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 it would take time. So if she knows that he's not going to come now, Chazon Ish and Chidah still say, Mota, why? She's not mistaken about Hashta Asi yet, but according to Rambam, that's not an issue. Another sort of similar situation, is where you have the either he's in jail. The person told, let's say the husband's in jail, so he can't come. That's where Moshe says, awesome. He's in jail in the same town. Okay, that's very nice, but it doesn't really help. Again, if you take a Rashi approach, it doesn't really help. The Tosfos Shans talks about the... Now again, the jail situation, I did not find anyone who is matcha or feirish, and you could make the argument, if he's in jail, everybody takes away the ema also, perhaps. There is an interesting discussion about Yavam. Yavam lives, doesn't live in the same house as her. This is before Yibam. She's a Shomer as Yavam. She's a widow, her husband passed away, and she's Zakuka to do Yibam with this Yavam. But it hasn't happened yet. It's again, if you learn Yavamas, there is some degree of Zika between the Yavam and the Yavama. There's some degree of connectedness, a quasi-marriage-like connection. She's not allowed to marry anyone else without getting a chalitza to end the Zika. That's a big discussion in the opening program of Yavamas. Yesh Zika, Ein Zika, how do you understand this connectedness? And they haven't done it even yet, so he's no more than Aris. They don't live under the same roof. So he doesn't live in her house. And yet, if you take a look at Tosfos Shans, at the Cheshek Shlomo, they seem to be open to thinking that that we could talk about Baila Be'ir based on the fact that the Yavam is in town. And not only is that a Chiddush, the Yavam is not really her husband, but also Yavam is not coming home. So that seems like a very clear example of this type of thinking. And then we come back to that Shuvah of Moshe Feinstein mentioned before. I don't know how you want to number these exactly. Yavam is really one B, I guess. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned this earlier. Yavam is a sort of example of the Bayis Acher, because they don't share the same house. Yeah? And if you like, we call this 2B, is the Geder of Ir. And we mentioned before we got started, before we got into this Chakira, the opening Machlokas Rashi tells us how you define Choshesh. But another question is how you define Ir. What do you mean Baila B'ir? what's the city? Oh, we say, well, Halach has what to say about cities. Yes, as we mentioned, Rav Moshe Feinstein has that tshuva about the Jew who lives in the tenements Lower East Side and going up to work in the garment district. So the definition of ear for Rav Moshe is just Efshar Lahagia. You're nearby, it's a short trip. While other Achronim say, the Sofrim and the Imigdavar, so he suggests that it may have to do with how she feels. According to the Rambam, does she feel like he's in town? So yes, the garment district is a couple of miles away from the Lower East Side, especially if your only method of transportation is the trains. It could take an hour or however long it takes to get from point A to point B, but he's in town. He's in town. While there could be two towns near each other, you know. From Oceanside to Cedarhurst might be a much shorter trip. From Passaic to Fairlawn, from Fairlawn to Englewood, those might be much shorter trips than from the Garment District to the Lower East Side, but she may consider it. She feel it feels different. It doesn't feel like he's in town. Again, that lines up with the Rambam. And Shechter actually suggests, that it should have to do with the halachic definition of ear. We have a definition of ear b'chal darukula, based on daraisas about Ari Levim, and it applies in plenty of darabanan cases as well. For those who are learning Maseches Erevin, there's plenty of definition there, and in Sukkah and elsewhere about how you define an ear. Are you magdir? How close do the houses have to be in order to be considered one long hemsheikh of residence? The dinim of Tchumen. So, and that could be relevant elsewhere also in terms of how you define ear from Megillah and so on and so forth. So maybe that should be relevant here too. Bailabi ear is tali and din ear. So that approach of Rabbi Shechter gets started once you assume, like the Rambam, that it's not about can the husband actually show up or not, it's about ear. So number one, people may intuitively feel like the boundaries of either political boundaries or halachic boundaries of ear may be what you'd feel intuitively. Alternatively, that's just the way Chazal set it up. Once it's about the Hargasha, that's the way Chazal set up with the same din. Yeah. And then. One more piece here before we move to Libo Gaspa. One more nafkamina just in terms of the Bible of the Ear itself. And I'll leave this hanging for now, because we're going to come back to the Blue Narrative next week. Chashash Acherim Yagiyu. How the husband's not around, but other people are around. Other people might show up. So, according to Rambam, we haven't really commented on that. People are going to show up, But the ear is something more than that. The husband isn't even going to show up, according to Rambam. Husband doesn't even have to be able to show up and still his presence. But according to Rashi, so we'll leave this as a question for now. But it gets you wondering, if Rashi says Bayil Be'ir is mutter because she's worried the husband's going to walk in, dafka the husband, how about someone else? How about someone else is expected? Only the husband is matter? The same way the other week we spoke about Ishto Imo, why dafka Ishto? How about Bito Imo? Why are we going all the way to speak by Ishto Imo? So why Bayil Be'ir? I mean, if it's just a question of he may show up, what? And if the next door neighbor has the key to my house and I know he might be popping over the next hour to pick something up, that's not matir? Or I left the door wide open, better than locking it, he has the key. I left the door open, and I know that I expect the neighbor is probably going to be popping in at some point to pick stuff off my house. But that's not matir, it has to be the husband walking in? Really? It's curious. Again, that question doesn't get off the ground for Rambam, but for Rashi, you start wondering. And we'll pick up with that more, which when we get to Pesach Pasuach, where we're going to return to the questions of other people popping in. And then, so these are the first seven nafkaminas, just in terms of the definitions and the parameters of Baal Be'ir. And then, the Pesach Chu, according to the Chachos Adam, that this also should play out in terms of Libo Gaspa. The Chachos Adam points out that one of the biggest kashas on the Rashi's approach, on the Mistafimi Baal Hashda'asi, is how do you understand Libo Gaspa? You see, according to the Rambam, Libo Gaspa is very smooth. Conceptually very smooth. And Baal Be'ir creates an inhibition. Her husband's nearby. It's a ner, but the Chaznish had said. So if she's comfortable with this person, so then it's disinhibiting. The comfort she has with her cousin, with her brother-in-law, with a boy she grew up with, the boy next door, so that's going to sort of balance out the disinhibition will balance out the inhibition. It undoes the nerve of Baal Be'ir. But what do you do according to Rashi? So according to Rashi, what does it matter how comfortable you are with a guy? Your husband may walk in. If you're concerned the husband is going to walk in, Eshes Shimon and Reuven are together alone. So according to Rashi, we're saying, oh, we're comfortable. It's not Yisra Yichud. We're not concerned that the two of them being alone will lead to Chet, will lead to Niv. Because after all, they both know that Mr. Shimon may walk in. So if that's what it's about, so then why does it matter if Eshes Shimon is comfortable with Reuven? But if Mr. Shimon walks in, all the Libo gospel in the world is not going to do anything. So the Chachmanan raises, as you saw. And what does he say? So he says, he calls for a redefinition of what's going on. He says that his whole mahalach. He says, it's not just that she's concerned the husband might walk in at the moment that they're in an act of Gilui Arayos. It's that b'chal, they're alone for 2 hours together. Maybe 10, 20 minutes of that might potentially be Gilui Arayos. But the concern is that if at any point during the 2 hours, the husband walks in and sees his wife alone with this other fellow, it looks really suspicious. And there, it's not just he might walk in the b'shas isa. He might walk in at some point throughout the yichud. And that's why he says, and then what? And then he's going to suspect something's going on. He'll start asking questions. So they know if the husband comes in at any point, it's going to look suspicious. So they know it's going to lead to an uncomfortable conversation. So that will put them on pause. They won't violate an Isser Niyuf. Okay. And therefore, Chachmasarim says, Libo Gaspa. How does Libo Gaspa help? Libo Gaspa means that he's not going to, if she's Libo Gaspa with this guy, if it's her cousin, so the husband won't be so suspicious if he walks and finds him alone. Oh, okay, she's with her cousin. Oh, okay, she's with the old friend. So he may be less suspicious because Libo Gaspa, and therefore, Libo Gaspa undoes Baal Be'ir. Now, this is getting complicated. Right? Again, all this complexity is because Chachos Adam is a symbol of Rashi. And it leads to a couple of practical nafkaminas. The Chachos Adam talks explicitly about this, and Pesach Tshuva quotes it right here. Nasma Baal Rishus Lehisachet. The husband told her, you need to have a conversation with so-and-so, with the banker, with the electrician, whatever it is. He said, he told her I wanted to have this private conversation with whomever this fellow is. So then right away, all bets are off. Let's build it out. In other words, any time... let's take it step by step. So if the husband told her, you can be alone with the fellow, so the Chachos Adam says, oh, sir. Chachos called by the Pesach Shuvah here. As does the Taz, perhaps, also indicates that that would be Aser. But not everyone agrees. Because the Beis Shmuel, at the end of this Simon, the Sivkat and Chav Beis, talking about the Milamedes, the female teacher, and the very self close to Radvaz, and the Drahalacha, Kotzi, Chazanesh, pretty consistent. Chazanesh says, what does it matter if the husband gave her Rishus to be alone, but it's still by the ear? Well, what does it matter if the husband expects it? Which really brings us to the following point. How do you define Libo Gaspa? How do you define Libo Gaspa? Well, what the Chachmas Adam essentially is saying, and I think that there are several quotes from Aruch HaShulchan, but the Chachmas Adam is basically saying it also, is that Libo Gaspa calls man Sheyesh Tam B'Dor. Anytime there's a rationale for why they're alone, that's called Libo Gaspa. In other words, what the Chachmas Adam is suggesting, a radical redefinition, in order to explain how this could work according to Rashi, and Libo Gaspa is just an example. Libo Gaspa is just an example. It's just an example. It's nothing to do with the fact that they're friendly. That's just an example of a larger category, one illustration, a larger category of people with whom it makes sense that she would be alone. It doesn't look suspicious. Right? Which again, and that's why it plays specifically into Nasa Labayl Rishul Seizareh. And the husband knows the electrician is coming, so he's not going to be suspicious if he walks in the electrician and says, yeah, he knows the electrician was coming. So, but that vastly expands Libo Gaspa. In other words, it vastly shrinks Baal Be'ir. Radically shrinks Baal Be'ir. The only time, according to Chachmas Adam, Baal Be'ir's mutter is when it would look odd to the husband if you would find them alone together. It's actually very counterintuitive if you think about it. Heter. It's only mutter if it looks funny. Usually we assume that if something looks funny, that alone is reason to avoid it. That was the previous Gemara. I think we discussed at the beginning of the Zman. That Malka lo tova ha-shmur, the notion of davar mechur. Even something that's not technically within the bounds of yichud, it might still be in contextually defined as sketchy. Davar mechur you should still avoid it. And here, the Chazadim ironically say the reverse. The only time that the Hetter by the ear is, were the husband to show up, he would think it's odd that his wife is alone with this fellow. Why are they alone together? And if that's the case, then they're the Hetter by the ear. But if it's sensible that they're alone together, then there's no by the ear. They're very counterintuitive. And very, 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 very limiting. Very, very limiting. And let's play it out another way also. And that is, something we're starting to already see in the world of Yichud, the following pattern. We opened the Reshechter's comment that Hilchus Yichud is the study of Kulus. And I think we're beginning to see how that is. I mean, we started with Esther Yichud, and there is the Heter of Shnei Anashim, the Heter of Ishto Imo, and there's the Heter of Imo Obito, and so now we have a Heter of Baal Be'ir. And what we're also beginning to see is that a pattern that you have, and the Divrei Sofrim actually does something very beautiful with this, is that you have, we're building our list of kulas, and then most of the kulas have a built-in exception. And Ishto Imo, but not by a Nachri. Shnei Anashim, but not by Pritzin. Baal Be'ir, but not by Libo Gaspa. So one of the interesting questions to ask, and we've begun to touch on this, is how do the exceptions work by other kulas? Whereas prutzim doesn't work prutzim is the exception to shnei anoshim. We saw Tosis said based on the Gemara, prutzim is an exception to shnei anoshim, but it's not an exception to ishto ima. Right? If you take a look at the beginning of the Divrei Sofer, he actually has like a verbal chart. He doesn't set up as a chart, but he does it verbally. He says, ishto imo, does it apply by Nachrim? Does it apply by Prutzim? Does it apply by Libo Gas? And he has a footnote for each one to tell you where to look in the Sefer to find the answer. Then, by Al-Bi'ir, does it apply by Nachrim? Does it apply by Prutzim? By Libo Gas? Etc., etc. It's sort of like the part of the interesting thing to think about. You really could have made a chart like this.
Kulos and Yosei Menachlau, right? A kula of Ishtav Imo, and a kula of Shnei Anoshim, and a kula of Baal Beir, right? And so on and so forth. And then the exceptions, Nachri, Paretz, Rochel, that's the question, when is Rochel exception to what? The Asakim, the Anoshim. And now we have Libo Gaspa. And to ask, so for instance, we know Libo Baal Beir doesn't apply to Libo Gaspa. Right? Shnei Anoshim doesn't apply by Paretz. Ishtayim doesn't apply by Nachri, but Ishtayim does apply by Paretz. Right?
And so on and so forth. So we're going to see Mishnah next week, again to pass the Pasuach, that the Poskim discussed, does Libo Gaspa apply elsewhere? Does Libo Gaspa apply to Pesach Pasuach, for instance? No Baal Beir. Two people are alone. Reuben and Yocheved are alone. Yocheved is not married, or Yocheved is married, but her husband's out of town. But Pesach Pasuach. So we'll have to get into the details next week. It's not such a private situation. Today, the situation itself makes a mutter. And Post will say, well, but maybe Libo Gaspa. Maybe Libo Gaspa is, that limits the Kula Pesach Pasuach. Now, here is what you want to think about. Libo Gaspa, Bashar Kulos. Can you even have that conversation? So the truth is, according to the Chachmas Adam, it's very difficult to even talk about that. Because according to Chachmas Adam, Libo Gaspa is a very specific thing that really has to do with Baal Beir. He's saying, Baal Beir means that the husband walks in, it's going to look suspicious. So Libo Gaspa is any situation where it wouldn't look suspicious to the husband if he walked in. So that has, whether this would look suspicious to a husband walking in or not, has no relevance to anything but Baal Beir. For instance, it has no relevance to Pesach Pasuach, or it's certainly difficult to figure out how that would work out. Yeah, you could try to work out. It's tough. The Beis Shmuel and the Halakas Mechokes are both going to speak about Libo Gaspa in the context of Pesach Pasuach. So Lechora, put this in parentheses. One could push back, but it's a lot easier to talk about Libo Gaspa by other kulos. It's a more general concept, the way that the non Chachmas Adam way. And again, let's back up. The Chachmas Adam gave this very specific approach to Libo Gaspa because he was working with Rashi's understanding of Baal Beir. The husband, you saw a case where the husband might actually walk in. How's Libo Gaspa change that? Oh, it must be his whole shtickle Torah. But again, if you take the Rambam's approach, the Libo Gaspa, the way the Chaznish and the Chidah, you see, pretty consistently understand that Yichud is a ner, that Baal Beir is a ner, Baal Beir is a general inhibition because the husband's proximity. Libo Gaspa is can be understood very simply in a very straightforward fashion. As I mentioned before, I haven't found any author who puts all these nafkaminas together. You see a discussion like this, discussion like that, discussion like this. Lechora, they're all nafkaminas in the same chakira of how you understand Baal Beir. How you understand Baal Beir. Again, there is certainly a fair amount of consistency. The Chazanish and the Chidah pretty consistent, and so on and so forth. Moshe finds it in a few places. There's also a comment of the Chafetz Chaim in Chai Yisrael. He also takes a stand on this. And again, certainly in terms of Rishonim, it sounds like it's the Rambam on the one hand, versus the Rambam and the Smad, who quotes the language of the Rambam, and the Tosfos Shanz, and the Radvaz, and the Tur, all on the Rambam side. And then in terms of earlier Achronim, so you have the Taz, perhaps, holds like Rashi, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Shmuel, perhaps even Chalkos Mechokeh, are lined up with the Rambam. And then in terms of so later Achronim, so you have the Chalkos Adam, called by Pizchei Tshuva, Hartman Zemich Pizchei Sins, Pishapas and Chalkos Adam. But on the other hand, you have the Chidah, you have the Chetchek Shlomo. And more recently, so you do have Rav Moshe Feinstein with the Aruch HaShulchan, perhaps the Chafetz Chaim, lined up inside of Rashi. The Chazon Ish very consistently takes the approach of the Rambam. And I think the approach of Arabim is to assume like the Rambam. That, I've heard that from Shechter many times. I think it's an approach of other Rabbeim of ours as well, to assume like the Rambam, that Baal Be'ir Kipshuto, Baal Be'ir is even if the husband is not actually going to walk in. And we'll get that next week in Pesach. So if someone's actually going to walk in, even if it's not the husband, if anyone's going to walk in, that already might be in the world of Pesach Pasuach. That's a different kulam. But Baal Be'ir is a chiddush that even if no one's walking in, the fact the husband's proximity is already matter, and that lines up again all these issues. Even if they're in a location where the husband will not come to, or it's at a time that we know the husband is in surgery, he's in court, he's somewhere else. Again, like the Tosfos Shanz, with the Yavam, he's not going to show up. The discussion of how you define an ear. And then also Livo Gaspa is, we're taking the Rambam's approach allows us to take a more straightforward approach to Livo Gaspa. Maybe let's end with that. How do you define Livo Gaspa? You take the Rambam approach, so how do you define Livo Gaspa? So again, someone with whom there's some familiarity. And it could be, again, entirely appropriate, but there's some degree of familiarity. A friend of mine once asked Shalat Rabbi Shechter, and in the worth, we'll close with this psak. Shechter assumed the Livo Gaspa only applies when the man and woman in question are more or less peers. The scenario was a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law were alone together. The father-in-law was helping to babysit. He was babysitting the grandchildren. He was babysitting his son's kids, and the mother was going to be showing up, and the grandfather wasn't. Does the grandfather have to leave, you know, within a minute or two after his daughter-in-law shows up, or not? The children were very small, so the children were not relevant to the yichud conversation. So the scenario was that her husband, his son, was Ba'ir. He was in the Beis Medrash, and they lived on the other side of the Heights. So, Baal Be'ir. On the other hand, Livo Gaspa. Baruch Hashem, that is a very healthy, wonderful, positive relationship between father-in-law and daughter-in-law. So, not like all the negative stereotypes. So, a very positive relationship, the Livo Gaspa. Rav Shechter said he assumed that that's not Livo Gaspa, because Livo Gaspa means you're a peer. They have a wonderful relationship. It's like it's a parent-child type of relationship. It's not a peer. It's not a friend relationship. So he assumed that's a limit on Baal Be'ir. Yes, question.
Would that connect to the Shiloh of the Chazon Ish with the stepmother? Because there the Chazon Ish possibly.
Shiloh of the Chazon Ish with the stepmother.
Yeah, I think it was quoting the Baal Alpha. I can't put up offhand, but they asked the Chazon Ish. They have a mom who was in Yeshiva, who was father and got married.
Right.
And the Chazon Ish said that it's not Livo Gaspa, and if you looked at the Yehud, but instead, and then he added in the line at the bottom, because he knows this guy doesn't have like a Livo Gaspa relationship with the stepmother. Because so he's 19 when the father remarried.
Interesting. You're saying the way Dvar Halacha records this psak of the Chazon Ish, the only reason why he was Mako, the stepson and stepmother, is because their relationship was not so close because the father had remarried later. If it would have been close, it would have been potentially Livo Gaspa, even though obviously different generations. Interesting. It sounds like the Chazon Ish, based on what you're saying, the Chazon Ish may have had a different approach to that. Okay. Shkaya Chevra, in Mirz Hashem, we should be zocha to continue to have Chaburas in person, in Mirz Hashem even more and more in person, in our Mikdash Mat, in Mirz Hashem very soon, in the Mikdash. Shkaya.